on Prime Crime.
It's a young child we're talking about here. You want to play like games?
I'm not playing no game with you, man.
A frantic search that leads to gruesome discoveries.
She was nude, except for tennis shoes on her feet.
When a body is burned, the ultimate goal is to destroy any sort of evidence.
An unpredictable legal journey.
I think it was inappropriate, and the Supreme Court made the right decision that time.
And the man at the center of it all.
I wasn't honest, totally. What were you honest about?
Hey there, everybody. I'm Jesse Weber, and welcome to Prime Crime. This is where we do a deeper dive into the most high-profile and memorable true crime cases. When a teenager went missing, no one at the time had any idea where this disturbing case would ultimately lead.
March 7th, 2009, Cincinnati, Ohio. 13-year-old Esme Kenny decides to go for an afternoon jog, but she never returns home. When police are called and start searching the nearby woods, they make an unusual discovery.
Oh, when I lay under the trees, I kept hearing the footsteps and voice. I saw the lights fast approaching lights. And then the officers came over, was up there trying to get some signals. They told me to keep my hands where I could see them.
Anthony Kirkland is found sitting against a tree. He's apprehended and brought in for police questioning.
Are you aware that there was a child reported missing? Did any officer talk to you about that?
When they brought me down here, yes.
You were in this area right here, right around the time this occurred. You remember seeing a young girl, for example?
I don't remember seeing that.
It's not only that Kirkland was suspiciously in the area of Esme's disappearance, but when police search him, they find knives and Esme's watch and iPod on him.
What if I told you that this wristwatch and this radio belonged to this missing girl?
Are you serious?
I'm asking you.
If you told me that, that would change a lot of things.
Hell so.
Now I can see your point in talking to me.
Kirkland, though, is adamant that he doesn't know anything.
His mother and father, they're missing their baby girl. And I'm the suspect.
So the police interview, we know that took several hours, almost 8 hours or so, which we know, just generally speaking, that will wear a person down. But in this case, it worked to their benefit.
Eventually, Kirkland says he did in fact run into Kenny, or rather, she ran into him.
And it was an accident. Okay. It was an accident or a temper? Explain it to me. I understand it. It was my temper. Basically ran into each other.
Okay, and then what?
I tried to appear in the street. She was a part of it. She offered me a watch.
Okay, and then what happened?
I saw my son's mother.
What did you do then?
This is potentially a trauma response for him. He had, based on his confession, potentially a flashback to the mother of his child and the wrongdoings that she potentially had caused him.
Did you knock her out?
I think so.
Where is she now? Where'd you move her to?
Do we need to find her right away, or is it too late?
Kirkland claims that he beat up the 13-year-old and suggests she's still alive. But at one point in the interview, Detective Keith Witherell is called out of the room and receives new information from his colleague. When he comes back, things change.
This is changes things a little bit now, because the officers located the little girl. They located her in the woods, and she's dead. Oh.
The injuries to Esme Kenny's body provide a story of what happened.
the cause of death is listed as asphyxia due to ligature strangulation. Her clothes were twisted and used as a ligature, and you get more irregular marks around the neck. And that's what we saw.
Did you kill her?
No, sir.
Then how did she die? Because of your anger?
Because Ed and I bothered that beer from the first place.
You punched her, you kicked her, you stomped her. This is a child. It's a young child we're talking about here. You want to play like games?
I'm not playing no game with you, man.
Well, you know what? She's defenseless. You're cat and mouse with me. I killed her because of my hatred. Well, what does that mean, Anthony?
Something to know about Anthony Kirkland. He's not an ordinary suspect.
Is there anybody else out there we need to be looking for?
More when we return. Back in 2009, 13-year-old Esme Kenny's dead body is found in an Ohio woods near her home. Suspect Anthony Kirkland, who was located in the area and had some of Esme's belongings on him, says he beat up the girl when she accidentally knocked into him during a jog. Throughout his conversations with police, he says he didn't kill her, yet detectives are able to get him to open up more and more.
This child has a mother and a father. You are a father. They love their child like you love your child. And I know you have a heart, and I know you have a soul.
I call this forced empathy. Detectives made this very personal to Kirkland by using his son. And it forced him to have empathy for Esme Kenny's parents in that moment.
And then eventually...
What made you kill her?
Hearing that I'm sorry, that I told her she was just like all the women that can destroy my life.
There's a lot of people that get angry. There's a lot of people that have a temper and they don't kill anyone. What I think was a bigger part of it was his misperception of commonplace occurrences that he viewed as malicious slights against him. And that is what escalated him and sent him into this dissociative rage.
He gave in. What does that mean, here? He gave in to me. What did you do? I choked her.
That's not all.
In Esme's case, she was nude, except for tennis shoes on her feet, which are unusual. So that makes you think that something sexual may have happened.
She said that she'll do whatever I want. Just don't hurt her. I asked her if I could have sex with her. She said she hadn't done it before. So that's the same thing that I have been hearing from everybody else.
Did you have sex with her?
After that. She told me she wouldn't tell nobody. I didn't believe her.
So is that when you choked her?
Given Kirkland's involvement in the death of this 13-year-old girl, investigators wonder something. Is Kirkland tied to other killings?
I have been investigating the death of Cassandra Crawford and Mary Jo Newton.
45-year-old Mary Jo Newton seemed to be an acquaintance of Kirkland's, but as he explained, it was a relationship that took a dark turn.
Mary would also want more money and more dope, so she became a prop for you. Your friendship was being challenged. And then she hit me.
Then what happened? Did she die in the van?
Yes.
How did she die? What happened to cause her death?
And she told me that the death would probably be a good thing. What her life has been.
As for 14-year-old Cassandra Cherie Crawford, whose corpse was found in a wooded area like Kenny's, by all accounts, Kirkland just randomly met her near a high school.
She saw me sitting there smoking weed. I said she was old enough to be gone.
She actually said that she was old enough to be doing a lot of things. So I ain't sitting and talking and playing with that. She get mad and she looked like she said a couple of things. And then when she got mad, I got mad.
Then what'd you do?
I grabbed her and she kneed me.
The way he chose his victims were pretty interesting because it seems like at least on two occasions, he almost just bumped into the victims. Whereas there were other situations where there was maybe a relationship or at least establishing some type of friendship or commonality. So it was almost kind of random. Either he knew you and he snapped, or he was getting to know you and he snapped.
His victimology is all over the place. A lot of serial killers will stalk and target specific people. But his murders were a little bit different because they were a reaction to being wronged in some way. I think Kirkland would argue that he didn't choose his victims, they chose him.
Coming up, Kirkland still has some more surprises for law enforcement.
I wasn't honest, totally.
What were you honest about? Is there more bodies? Is that what you're saying? Why did you try to have sex with this girl and not the other ones?
It was what she said. She said, I'll do anything you want, just don't hurt me.
After 13-year-old Esme Kenny goes missing in Ohio back in 2009, Anthony Kirkland tells investigators that he not only sexually assaulted and murdered her, but he killed two other people as well in 2006, including another teenager. Kirkland, though, isn't done with his confession.
More bodies, is that what you're saying?
What was the name of the person?
She told me her name was Kelly. Was she a working girl, a prostitute, what?
She was a prostitute.
According to Kirkland, after trying to pay Kim Uralison for sex, he got into an argument with her that turned deadly.
Actually, she had a blade. She had a knife.
So she had the knife. You just turned it on her because she came after you.
Right.
Where did you hit her?
In the throat.
And where did she, where at the throat?
To the jugular. I told her the blood was coming up. It was coming up too fast, too quick. And she told me she couldn't feel her legs. I started trying to get over. But then I held her.
While Kirkland's victims were all different and they died in various circumstances, there was one constant, one common MO that would become synonymous with Anthony Kirkland. Each body had been burned.
When a body is burned after they've died, really it seems as though the ultimate goal is to destroy any sort of evidence. So it depends on how long the body has been burning and really how thoroughly it has been burned.
In the first two cases where the bodies were not discovered and they were skeletonized and burned, you could not find any reason why they died.
I burn them out. Burn them out because that's part of the burial.
I think there is a common misconception that any sort of burning or charring of a body will destroy evidence.
The third case was also burned, but not enough that we couldn't see the incised wound on the vertebrae. In our last case where Esme was only burned on her lower body and in her groin region, there was not any direct evidence found to indicate who raped her, but the evidence that somebody had attempted was still there.
What was the reasoning? My personal belief, I thought that you were trying to get rid of evidence.
It's fire purifiers. It's like a proper burial, like the Vikings.
Looking at how thoroughly the bodies were burned and the fact that an accelerant was used, such as gas, it does seem that he was trying to hide evidence versus cremating the bodies for their ultimate burial.
Anthony Kirkland admitted to killing four people from 2006 to 2009, and that's not even the most shocking part. He actually killed before. In 1987, he strangled to death Leola Douglas and set her body on fire as well. After serving 16 years in prison for manslaughter, he was released in 2003. With five victims on his record, Anthony Kirkland is a bona fide serial killer. Up next, Kirkland goes to trial, but it doesn't play out how you might think. Stay with us.
Think all court shows are the same?
We're talking about your father. Guilty or not guilty?
Guilty.
Think again. Judge Caprio rules with common sense.
I was having contractions. I was rushing to the hospital.
Inspector Quinn, what does justice demand? Jail?
And compassion.
I'm going to take the circumstances into consideration.
The best court experience I've had.
Clearly, Judge, he's been in a court before.
Get caught in Providence.
Hi, I'm Dan Abrams. In the exploding legal and true crime genre, Law & Crime is the only network that has it all.
Good evening and welcome.
This is a complicated case.
Don't really jump to conclusions.
Welcome to Prime Crime Tonight.
Another day of drama between both sides.
From multiple live trials daily to original and compelling programming, the Law & Crime Network is everywhere. And we invite you inside the jury box. This is Law & Crime.
You killed a person last night.
I can't control me.
In 2010, Ohio serial killer Anthony Kirkland is on trial for the murders of two women, Mary Jo Newton and Kimya Rollison, as well as a 14-year-old Cassania Crawford and 13-year-old Esme Kenny. Kirkland would plead guilty to murdering Newton and Rollison, and the jury convicted him for the killings of the teenagers, with Kirkland receiving the death penalty.
He was convicted because the evidence was pretty strong against him. He confessed to the crimes. There's no going back from that.
However, that's not even close to the end of the story. While his convictions remained, the Ohio Supreme Court held that Kirkland was entitled to a new trial on the sentencing phase because of comments prosecutor Joe Dieters made to the jury. Specifically, he suggested that if Kirkland wasn't sentenced to death for the killing of the girls, then they would just be, quote, freebies for Kirkland.
I know that prosecutors and defense attorneys get emotional. They get attached to these cases, and oftentimes they'll say things that may cross the line. So as a judge, it's really hard to call what's a good statement or a bad statement, but I think it was inappropriate and the Supreme Court made the right decision that time.
Now, Kirkland had a second shot at life. His resentencing trial began on July 25th, 2018.
Is the mitigation outweighed by the aggravation? Period. And if it's outweighed by the aggravation and you're certain of it and you're sure of it, you shall recommend the death penalty for Anthony Kirkland.
The defense focused on Kirkland's mental health and traumatic past in support of a life sentence.
You shall consider whether as a result of a mental disease or defect, the defendant was unable to control his actions and conform to the law.
The defense even called experts like Dr. Joseph Wu, who concluded Kirkland had brain abnormalities, which may have led to his actions.
He testified that Kirkland's brain scans were similar to those with chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE. CTE is a brain injury that's associated with violent and aggressive behavior, but an expert that was hired by the prosecution said that the brain scans looked normal. Kirkland suffered abuse as a child. This is a guy that used drugs growing up. He was involved in a bicycle accident, so there may or may not be some brain damage. There's potential for a head injury. And so his ability to manage his impulses is probably a little bit different from most people. That filter's gone.
While jurors listened to Kirkland's confession tapes, they got to hear once more from the man himself.
I cannot offer an explanation for my atrocious acts. I understand I have hurt so many people with these horrible crimes. To all the families, friends, and loved ones of those hurt and still hurting from my behaviors, I am truly sorry for your pain.
It's difficult for me to tell if he's remorseful or not. There's moments in his confessions, and based on his actions, it's difficult for me to see this remorse. But the thing is that when he comes to terms with what he did and was able to humanize his victims, he was able to show remorse. The thing is, this is not a typical state of mind for him.
Please understand, though, I am not here to beg for mercy, nor your forgiveness. I am proof a young person deeply abused physically, emotionally, and mentally becomes the abuser. I do not blame you if you kill me. I do not deserve to live. But please spare my life.
Now it was in the hands of the jury. Life in prison or death.
We therefore unanimously find that the sentence of death should be imposed upon Anthony Kirkland. It's signed by all 12 jurors, including the foreperson.
They decided on death mainly because there were victims who he didn't even know and who lost their lives. And there's no coming back from that. Though he had trauma, he was still intelligent enough to make decisions. These murders were done in a calculated manner. He burned the bodies of the victims. You know, he hid the evidence. So he didn't lose his mind to the extent that he didn't know what was going on. Instead, he lost his mind to the point where he was making bad decisions.
The judge ultimately imposed the death sentence. Kirkland appealed, but the Ohio Supreme Court affirmed the judgment 2 years later, thereby seemingly sealing his fate for good. Anthony Kirkland will go down as one of Ohio's most brutal killers, but it's the devastation he left behind that has left the greatest impact.
I think what sticks with me the most is the potential that was lost with these victims and what someone like Esme Kinney could have become. She could have been the most important person in the world, and yet we've lost her. So that's what sticks with me, the uselessness of something like this.
Anthony Kirkland took too much from this world. This is a man so evil that two different juries recommended he be executed. At the time of this recording, he's still on death row, a harsh reality that despite his best efforts, he just couldn't escape from. And that's all we have for you here on Prime Crime. Leave us your comments on Instagram and Twitter with the hashtag PrimeCrime. As always, thank you for joining us. And until next time, be safe.